Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Dr. Craig Martin, and you're listening to The Inside Connection, coming to you live from Los Angeles. It's this beautiful Wednesday, St. Paddy's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody. Christina Martin, happy St. Paddy's Day to you.
Oh, happy St. Paddy's Day back. I know no one can see us, but we are both wearing green. We're both representing our Irish roots that go way far back. So, and I know a little bit later I'm going to have some cabbage and corned beef. Got to do the traditional. Maybe
nice. Maybe
a Guinness. We'll have a little fun
nice. Too.
Yeah.
Or two. Yeah. So, before we were coming on the air, we were talking about how this time of the year is Pisces time. So it certainly makes plenty of sense that St. Patrick's Day is all about drinking.
Yep. Let's get crazy. Let's get into being a little loosey-goosey, shall we?
Being a little... detached, being a little escaping. I always think of Pisces in a nice way as kind of like a soap bubble, dreamy.
Ooh.
Very dreamy. Ooh. You know, like there's something very dreamy about Pisces. And I was telling you that I did this class last night at Learn It Live about Mars, which was great. It really went really nicely. And when I got to the people who have Mars in Pisces, those people were Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Taylor, Bob Dylan, Bono, Van Gogh, Billie Eilish. Very dreamy, you know, dreamy people that are not easy to necessarily put your finger on. To pinpoint and say, yes, this is what this person is all about. You know, there's something a little bit elusive. You go in there to sort of touch it, and it disappears like mist.
Ooh.
You know, and that's part of the intrigue, right? That's part of the, I think, the intrigue of Pisces is that it's not linear. It's not something that we're supposed to be able to put our finger on. It's something that's supposed to be like water, like deep water, and you know. Do you ever swim down into deep water, jump out of a boat? Do you ever jump out of a boat in the middle of the ocean?
Sure.
And
I've only,
swim
you
down?
Know.
Do you ever try to swim down?
Yes.
So, you get
and
out
then
of there.
You go all the way and you like go
crazy.
All the way down to the deep. And you, for me, it's like so exciting, but terrifying because you lose your sense of what's in front of you, what's below you.
That's Pisces.
You just know you're in a dream state. Yeah.
That's Pisces because you then look out into the deep and you can see, but you can't really see too far, but you can still see like there's a permeability of sight underwater. Fascinating. That's Pisces. That's that realm. It's all kind of dissolved and floating and moving and there's nothing solid in that realm. And I know the title of our show is about imagination because imagination comes from that ability to allow images and symbols to emerge as mirrors of an internal dream space, right? That dreaminess. Pisces is all about dreaming.
I love that. Exactly. Yeah. I think too, I mean, if we think about, our dreams that we have, just, the dreams that we have when we sleep, the feelings that we get so connected, we wake up, in a dream state or we wake up feeling a certain type of way, right? It always gives us a feeling, even though it's not real. We still feel it so deeply, the dreams at night and then also the symbology of dreams as well. I like that too, connecting back to what you were saying. if you're in water, you know, if you're a tidal wave comes over you, then you've got a lot of emotion in your real life. You know, it's that connection to the subconscious that's making its way to the front of your brain.
Right. Because the superconscious, which is like the higher mind, like some people think of that as God, the superconscious, what we're capable of tapping into, the collective unconscious in the dream state, doesn't speak English. You know, mm-hmm. doesn't speak any language. It speaks in symbols. Mm-hmm. And those symbols are universal, right? If you're being chased by a dark entity, right, that's universal. You don't have to speak any language to know that that's not good, right?
Yeah.
If you're about to get swallowed up by a tidal wave, we all understand what that means, right? Washed away. Or if you find yourself falling. But it's the same also if you're in a kitchen, if you're in a hotel room, if you're on a staircase, if you're climbing up, if you're climbing down, all of those are the symbols. And those musicians and artists that I just mentioned, as well as some of those great actresses, they are able to take the symbology in imagery and language, right? Elton John is somebody that I just named. And you think about like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. This the whole song, it's all imagery. It's all imagery. Like none of it actually really makes any sense. What if you pick it apart as a poem, though, it's beautiful, right? Like as poetry, it's beautiful. And then it all becomes something that we can relate to or we can connect to.
Connect. Exactly. Yeah. That's what Pisces is about, is connecting to that higher level, that imagination, that, you know, sunny field where there's flowers and you feel so warm and you're picnicking with, you know, your loved one.
Van Gogh is on that list, right?
Uh-huh.
Where everything is exaggerated or the colors are bright.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Swirly.
Conversation about imagination, I definitely see it in my child, you know, my 9-year-old son. And the way in which he can take, you know, just a box of blocks, even at this age, and construct something out of it, you know.
Mm.
Oh, I'm going to build this now, you know, and take just a bunch of blocks and build a castle and then build a chair and then, like, do the square foot layout of our apartment with blocks, you know. And you're like, okay, you just built a castle and a car and a chair, and now you're doing like the floor plan of our apartment. I find it so interesting just where that imagination is going. And I always noticed it. I always noticed it. He could have taken a like paper towel roll on the inside of a paper towel and a stick and turned it into a vacuum and walked around like the living room carpet, like he was vacuuming up with a paper towel roll and making the vacuum noise. Now, so how did he take those two things and put them together and then in his mind turn it into a vacuum cleaner? That's imagination.
Yes.
Yeah. Symbols.
Beautiful.
Symbols, right? It continues to even make me think of like famous symbols that we have, whether they're things like Mickey Mouse or... right? Because that becomes a symbol for a certain thing, obviously not just a Walt Disney logo, but it becomes a symbol that people connect to and that they're able to somehow relate to for some reason or another. Whatever it is that energy speaks to us, we find it inside of ourselves, but still it's in a dreamscape. It's not real, right? Mickey Mouse is not real. And great. Did I need to say that?
we're talking about Pisces here. We have to say,
exactly.
We have to emphatically state what is real and what is our fantasy. Yes, I love that. I was thinking too, like the Hello Kitty, you know, connecting to the cuteness, something small, something soft and vulnerable. We, you know, want to connect to that. And that is a symbol for that, inside of all of us, for the child inside of all of us. We all have it. Just don't really
yes.
speak words to it.
Exactly. Adorable, big-eyed things, right? That's why
yeah.
we love babies. Yeah, you find, is this what you want to know, an interesting anatomy fact? Here's an amazing anatomy fact. The human eye is the only part of us that doesn't grow. So when you're a baby, you have the same size eyes as when you're an adult. So eyes in a baby are big, right? So
yeah.
like, great, uh-huh. they're big. And so that's a part of what we connect with, like cuteness. And so puppies, it's the same thing, like puppies. And in that anime way, when they do like Hello Kitty or whatever, they've exaggerated that. They make
the
big
eyes.
Yes. Right? And it's because the human eye is the only thing. The brain gets bigger and the skull gets bigger and the nervous
sure.
system and obviously all your bones and all your skin. I mean, when you're born,
yes.
you're only like 22 inches and then you grow. And so obviously your skin gets bigger, your
uh-huh.
intestinal, you know, like canal gets bigger, all of that.
Uh-huh.
Everything gets bigger. Your ears get bigger. But,
yep.
you know, because you have little tiny baby ears when you're a baby,
your
but
nose?
Your eyeballs, they
uh-huh.
change size.
So
right? It's why we have to get a second set of teeth.
They get
because
bigger.
We can't have baby teeth. And if you see a kid who's like in that transitional 6 or 7 years old and their head is actually getting a lot bigger and they still have those little tiny baby teeth, it does not look good. It does not look good. You look at them and you're like, oh, no, not good. Like, what do you have
That's
those
correct.
Little tiny teeth in there, which looked super cute in a 2-year-old.
Sure. In a baby head, in a baby sized head.
Great.
Yes. Yeah. That's a little funny to picture.
Down that right. Pisces road. Down that Pisces road. Big eyed creatures make us happy. Big-eyed
oh, yeah.
creatures make us feel that they're cute. So cute. Yeah,
I
that's
took,
why we love those monkeys, you know, whether it's like meerkats or lemurs
yeah.
or with the big eyes. We think they're so adorable. Bears, animals that have big eyes.
Cows.
Great. We think they're so cute and amazing.
And soft and yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I remember too, took a really great film class in college, and it was actually got mentioned in a couple different film classes, and it was about close-ups on the eyes in cinema and how that was a tactic that you know, directors and producers and everybody uses in film, which is also a Pisces thing, this imagination, but getting close to someone's eye and seeing, you know, deep inside and feeling that connection and that big eye looking at you or looking at something and getting the feelings from that. It's always interesting.
Yeah.
I always notice it
yeah.
too now in film.
Yeah, I have too. And that's also part, I think, of that imaginatory dreamscape is to be able to look into someone's eyes and then either project what we want them to be. You know,
uh-huh.
the way in projection, uh-huh. which I didn't think we would talk about this, but I think it's a good segue about Piscean projection and the way that Pisces is very able to be what it is that you need them to be. Pisces is very good at understanding what someone needs from them, and then they can morph into that. There's a very chameleon-like
yes.
Piscean energy where they will transform themselves into what they think that they need for you to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I've been doing some readings for people lately where they've had strong Pisces in their charts, and they've said, it just seems like people just think, you know, that I'm the perfect person or that ideal. Almost that comes in and I'm just, you know, almost put on a pedestal and, you know, really I'm just a human. So that, and
no.
a Pisces at that.
No, you're not. You're not Pisces.
an imaginary creature, yeah, an alien, or yes, a baby, all of the above.
So I think when I look at the alignment of where the planets are today, and we can just sort of talk about that for a minute, that the Sun and Mercury and Venus and Neptune are all in Pisces. You and I had brought up the chart of the moment, the present time chart. Three of those planets, the Sun, Venus, and Neptune, are all super closely grouped together. In astrology, it's called a stellium. That means three or more planets are in the same sign, grouped very close together. Mercury actually just went into Pisces a couple of days ago. There was some chance that I was going to, you know, make tonight's show about Mercury and Pisces, but I thought there was a broader thing to talk about, which had to do with the way in which this energy is part of our entire collective experience, that we all speak a universal language of symbolism, which is why art speaks to us. That's why art and music speak to us collectively. And it could be classical music even, right? Like there's no reason why we can't find a great emotional content in classical music, right? If you listen to certain pieces, right? I was like thinking right now, like Vivaldi's Four Seasons, right? Something that's pretty common that people know. He wrote that so that if each one of those movements would feel like summer, spring, fall, and winter.
Season.
Or if you listen to George Winston's album, Winter, and the way that all it is piano music. Huh. And yet it feels like snow falling on the ground. The piano, it's just played in such a way that you want to be sitting next to a fireplace while you're listening to it, because it's so beautiful, soft, and delicate winter. It's definitely not the sound of spring. And I know I'm just bringing up the seasonal analogy because I think that's very easy for us to connect with the truth of that. But beyond that, music itself is invoking. I mean, we all know that we cry, right? At certain pieces of music can make us cry.
Sure.
Right? Exactly. And can make us get rowdy.
Yes. Excitable, right? And want to jump and dance around.
Right. So music is tapped into the collective experience also of the imagination that we have, right? Mm. It's not just simply the beat. It's the actual tones.
Mm-hmm.
And artists, I think, know that as well when they're making paintings or sculptures and fine art, is that what they're drawing, painting, right? It's supposed to make you smile. It's supposed to make you horrified. It's supposed to make you want to go and throw up, you know, because you're so like, oh, my God, that's so hard to look at. Like, that's what great art is all about, is that it invokes a response, just like all acting. Great acting is supposed to make you feel, right, what the content is of the situation that the person is acting out. And great writing as well. Can't leave out the writers, because Pisces is very much about fiction, creating stories, storytelling.
The imagery that it can bring up, the imagery of the imagination. Yeah, all of that. I love that. I mean, when you're describing the seasons, I can just picture myself there. And two, I think there's something about it with perhaps like the connection to the past. Like it's like remembering something, you know, we remember something from before, and maybe we don't quite remember it exactly clearly, but we remember the feeling that we have, and we can remember the symbology or what was surrounding the situation. You know, I can maybe picture myself in a time when it was snowing somewhere, but I can't tell you all the exact details. And that feels very Pisces, that ability to get there and mostly grasp it, but not quite. You can't see the clear edges. You can feel it and witness it and all that, but.
Right. So it was interesting because I just pulled up this, you know, the old origin of this word, imagine and imagination. Mm. And it's so interesting because, of course, it starts off with the word image, which is the word picture. And you just said that, picture yourself. You actually just used the word picture. And so imagination comes from image, which is the word picture. But imagine, right, imaginaire in French and Latin, is the formation of an image that represents the self.
Mm.
So to that projection of who we think we are, that symbolism, right? That symbolism is where imagination comes from. It's like taking something and saying like, oh, I know what that is, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not a paper towel roll and a stick. It's a vacuum cleaner, you know?
Uh-huh.
Then he would pick it up, of course, and he would turn it into a telescope or whatever, like a lot of kids would do. But that's something that's coming from inside. It's like one's self-understanding of the world around us.
Ooh.
Right. You can imagine what it is that you are. Right.
Uh-huh.
So if you're making a vacuum cleaner, then you are clean, right? Or you like, you know, or you like creating order. If you're making a telescope, you like seeing things from a distance, or you're a spy, you know, just these different kinds of things, because then of course, imagination becomes imaginative play.
And then we can really explore, you know, ourselves through that imaginative play.
Correct. And being able to connect that with the creativity, being able to connect the water with the fire, which is interesting because right now we don't really have any fire, right? We have a fireless chart. We did just have the moon in Aries for a couple of days, and it is going to be spring. Happy spring to everyone. It's already the 18th in England. And so that's happening in just 3 days, less 2.5 days, according to the sun. And that's pretty close by. We're going to go into Aries. But for right now, we're in a fireless chart. And we have been for a while, for what feels like way over 2 months, a fireless chart.
Yes.
It's going to shift pretty quick. All the Pisces planets will go into Aries. And and of course the moon.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, we can feel that too. I think at least for the United States, or I'm noticing too in California, the vaccine is an example of that. That's, you know, being something that we're able to imagine about, maybe, right? People are, they're starting to actually get it, but you know, in a, you know, actual physical way, but still not everyone has it, but it's coming, and we can imagine our lives out of this. We can imagine the world, picture the world from this. We're using the vaccine as a symbol to get out of COVID.
Yeah, collective healing, collective safety, right? Herd immunity. It's not really lost on me, right? Herd immunity. It's like immune to danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
The herd, the group of us, is immune to this danger, which
right.
is super important, because obviously we saw what happened when there was, you know, herd anxiety and herd fear.
Yes.
Collective herd fear was not a good thing.
No, it was not.
When we all collectively feel like we're in danger, that's not a good thing. So,
right. Yeah,
the fact that we're all moving towards that, at some level of immunity amongst most of us, and that should create a new level of safety for a large number of people moving about on the planet is a good thing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that will pick up. You would think that will pick up in Aries. Yeah.
With our fire. Right.
Yeah. But just like there'll be more passion directed at that. And right now, I think we're still in the dream. You know, the cold weather, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cold across the whole country, right? We're having a very cold March and a very, really like sort of strong end to winter. It's been very cold here in Los Angeles. I know that it's been super cold in New York. I know that Denver just had 2 feet of snow, something crazy.
Oh, gosh.
And we had massive, power outages and all of that in Texas from cold, and it was cold in Florida. So,
right.
That energy, right? There is no fire. None of the planets are in fire, so there is no heat.
Right.
Time to turn the heat on. March the 21st, maybe things will get a little bit warmer.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. March 21st, too, is the equinox, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's when the sun goes into Aries.
Uh-huh. That's very nice. Yeah, so we're getting into getting ready for a shift.
And Venus, too, will go into Aries, I would think, pretty quickly, right?
After our sun, always following.
Yeah, Venus goes into Aries right there. They go in together. The sun goes on the 21st. Venus goes on the 22nd.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So Venus is going to escort the sun into Aries, which is kind of nice. Some bold.
Right.
Yeah.
Some bold loving.
Some bold level of loving. I love you.
I'm sure we will feel that way when we start to get to, be able to hug our relatives. We're going to be aggressive about it.
We're going to be able to hug each other.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll be able to walk up and be like, hey, I'm vaccinated. Are you vaccinated? Yeah. Okay. So we can hug again because, we're likely to not be carrying it and spreading it around. And even if we might have some mild version, the other person's vaccinated. So there's going to be a great new renaissance of, I think, a return to at least some measure of not being socially distant anymore. We'll be less afraid. I saw where Disneyland is opening in late April,
right,
about a month from now, California Disneyland. And that to me is an indication that they're not so afraid that people are going to be coming in there and giving each other the virus, or they're not afraid for their employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Right. Yeah. So, dispel some of the fear.
Yeah. I think it's a good time to sort of, not only kind of conclude today's show episode, but to be concluding the winter. There are only 3 more days of the winter, technically. And so April always sort of heralds in newness, something new, something fresh, some, new reach into the unknown. So that's kind of nice. Last year, right around the same time, we were getting shut down. So our journey into Aries had to do with something a lot more self-oriented and palpably self-preserving.
Ah.
And I think we can go back to something more self-expressive.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, both expressions of Aries, but this one's a lot nicer.
Yeah, it seems like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Dr. Craig Martin, and I'm here with Christina Martin, and we come to you every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific. You can find out more about us at sageofstars.com or losangelesastrologyschool.com, where if you want to learn more about studying astrology or the tarot, you can contact us and find out more. Otherwise, we're at Sage of Stars on Twitter and Instagram and all platforms. It's always nice to be here with you. Always nice to be here with you, Christina. I love to chat it up.
I am so happy to be here, too. We had a really nice talk with Pisces tonight, so I hope everybody goes home and dreams the good
dreams
tonight.
Sweet dreams, everybody. Sweet dreams.
Good night.